Our scripture reading is from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Years ago, I was in a mall in Minneapolis, and suddenly I saw a very disturbing scene playing out in front of me. A father was holding his 8-year-old son by the wrist and dragging him back into a store, and the little boy was screaming and crying and telling his dad, "No, no." And the father, you could tell, was very angry with his son. My first response was thinking, I better help this boy. Almost looks like he was being pretty roughly treated as his dad dragged him back into the store. And the father called for a clerk to get a manager to come up to the front, and just then a security guard came walking by. And the father called out to the security guard and brought him over to the scene, and I was kind of intrigued by now, so I stuck around and watched a little bit. And that little boy, I'm sure at that moment thought his dad just hated him. But I realized what happened. The little boy had apparently stolen a candy bar. And the father had caught his own son once they got out to the car and brought him back in and was now asking the manager of the store and the police officer, the security guard, to chew out his son so that this would never happen again. What appeared to me on the surface initially to be something so bad turned out to actually be love from this father. I actually found myself kind of admiring how he handled it. Sometimes love can be found in rather hidden and unexpected ways and in unexpected actions. In the text before us, this woman calls out to Jesus for help. She's come to know him as the Son of David. She expresses true faith in him. She knows him as the Almighty God, the Messiah, the Savior, the one who has come to show such great compassion in this world. And you think to yourself, what might you expect from Jesus for this woman with her sad situation with her daughter? She cries out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is demon-possessed." But Jesus' response to her appears on the surface to be what we would not at all expect. It's very uncharacteristic of him. We're told, first of all, he answered her not a word. How cold. Does this sound like the Jesus we would know? This compassionate Son of God that we would know? And all the different ways that he's treated other people and the miracles that he's done? At least talk to her, we might think. At least show some common decency and courtesy to address her. How cold this appears to be. He doesn't even talk to her. Some people might have just been turned off enough right there to have walked away. Now, her pleas to him must have gone on for a while because the disciples finally come to Jesus and they say, "Send her away. She keeps crying out after us." This was getting annoying. There are times in a person's life and in the believer's life, there are times in our lives when we may call out to God for his assistance, like this woman, and we may seek his help and expect to find his help for us, but it just doesn't seem to come. There are times when the way God responds to us seems to be kind of cold, almost like he doesn't even hear us or doesn't even care about us. And when we kind of assess the situation based upon our own thinking and the way we assume something should have gone, and then when we see how God seems to react to the situation, sometimes making it even worse, the devil likes to come and tempt us to think that God doesn't care about us, or that God has no power to help us at all. And sometimes when the dreams that you have about your life and the things that you wanted to take place, the plans that you kind of made, and all of a sudden that gets messed up and changed, and maybe the things that you were expecting to have happen just didn't work out the way you wanted, we start to wonder, where is God in my life? Does God care at all? And sometimes believers can be put through some pretty tough trials. I remember a number of years ago, a member of a church I was serving himself had been in the hospital 3 different times during 1 year, and he lost 9 close family members, including both of his parents, in that same year. Just think of all of that difficulty. And it's at times like that when the devil likes to tempt us to think that this faith that we have is irrelevant and meaningless. Now, for this woman, her situation of pleading with Jesus gets even worse. When she finally gets his attention, when he finally turns around to talk to her, the words that he gives her sound even more harsh. He says, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." But she just hangs in there. I love Luther's comment. He says, "This woman will not even let Christ take faith out of her heart." Not even Christ. She just keeps pursuing him and pursuing him. And she holds on to what she by faith knows that Christ is. She holds on to the gracious God that she's come to know through his word, even though right now he doesn't look like he's a very gracious God. And this man talking to her would appear to be a cold-hearted imposter. But she keeps believing, because she even finds in his harsh words that we might think sound harsh, even there, buried in those words is a tiny little crumb of mercy and grace. And even though Jesus doesn't directly call her a dog, it just sounds like it, she doesn't mind that label. "I'll be a dog, that's fine. But just give me a little bit of your grace." And Jesus commends her for her faith that just keeps hunting and seeking out his goodness to find it, and ultimately performs the miracle she requested. Now, why does the Holy Spirit record little stories like this in the Bible for us? Because he knows that there are times in our lives when it's going to appear to us that God doesn't care, and when our faith is going to be chastened, is going to be tested, and when it's going to be hard for us to hold on to the idea that God is a good and gracious and loving God who sent his son to save us and has forgiven us so that we can have heaven in front of us. And there are going to be times when we're going to be driven to our feelings instead, and to our thinking, and to how we would assess a situation and maybe come to the wrong conclusions. And so God does not want us to go seeking the advice of the world in these moments, or what your own heart might even tell you, but instead to stay with his word and what that word already tells you about him and what you by faith already know about him. Because sometimes God's love and mercy can be found in our lives in the most unexpected places. That little 8-year-old boy today would be about 28 years old. It'd be fun to think that maybe he's a dad today. Maybe he has a child of his own. And I bet by this point in his life, if he is a father, he gets now what his dad was doing. And I bet he now clearly sees and understands how that was part of his dad's love for him. A day is going to come for you and me when we finally, by faith in Christ, arrive in heaven. And we're going to get it. We're going to be able to look back and clearly see and understand how even the worst things that happened in our life, that God's love was still inside of all of that. In the meantime, let us say with the 18th century hymn writer Christian Scheidt, "I cling to what my Savior taught and trust it, whether felt or not." Amen.